The Guardian.
Here we are, standing in silence. Or something like silence. In a room of paintings by the German artist Gerhard Richter. The silence is appropriate. Not because I don't have anything to say, but because the paintings are all based or titled after the American composer John Cage, whose most famous work, or perhaps his most infamous, is 4:33, 4 minutes, 33 seconds, of a pianist seated at a piano playing nothing. And the composition really consists of the ambient sounds, the air conditioning, the muffled coughs, the distant traffic that one hears in the auditorium. You might ask what this has to do with a German painter born in Dresden in 1932, moved to the West just after the Berlin Wall went up in the early 60s, and has lived ever since in Cologne. Richter's art spans, I suppose, what you might traditionally call all the genres: landscapes, still lives, portraits, but also color charts and abstractions, paintings derived from photographs, paintings derived from nothing at all, which brings us to these six large, almost square paintings titled after Cage. And they are very much in Richter's characteristic squeegeed mode, color laid down on the canvas with the kind of squeegee that you would use to clean windows or to do a silkscreen print, dragged across layers of paint, dragged across one another. Colors laid down, another layer goes on top when the first is semi-dry. The paint sticks to itself or pulls other bits off the surface from the preceding layers. It's mixed on the canvas. And you could say they're a kind of visual noise, these paintings. Layer on layer goes on. Maybe he'll paint in stripes or blobs or grids, and then work back over them in all directions, across, up and down, diagonally, swiping and dragging and blurring and remaking the painting. The one I'm looking at is number 6, Cage 6, 2006. As in all of this group, there's a lot of grey and white, some vague horizontal striations in a viridian green and a chrome or cadmium yellow, an orangey yellow, amongst it, and the greys, which hold it all together. These yellows, kind of fiery and hot, kind of erupt at various points in the painting. And the more you look, the more there are little bits of other colours, red and black. The black seems to have been laid on perhaps with a brush and then blurred with the squeegee. Obviously, the more he layers and the more he drags the paint around, the less pure the paint on the surface becomes. Every colour gets infected by every other colour. Up close, it's a blizzard of whites, greys, off blacks, splotches of green, yellow. Which isn't to describe the painting, is it? It's to describe the behaviour by which it was made. It's as if, when you stand back, there's an image in there that's been hidden by a kind of interference, like a TV on the blink. Something's gone wrong in the processing lab. Richter is very well aware that we can't avoid imagining images when we look at an abstract painting. A lot of his American collectors and supporters see in these paintings a kind of sublime, kind of intimations of the infinite, just in the way that they do with, they see the same things when they look at a Rothko, perhaps. But I think Richter's very much against that. I don't think he's interested, really, in the kind of religious heavy breathing. But he does acknowledge that we find images where there are none. I once spent a week in an apartment in America with several of Richter's smaller abstract paintings for company. After a while, I began to see them all as pictures rather than abstractions. There were trees in there, little glimpses of the sky, Arcadian views and vistas. Then the next morning I'd get up and walk through the same room to get my breakfast, and there would be something else in the image, or the non-image. I never stayed fixed. What am I seeing here? Probably something different from what you would see. We don't share our projections, do we? Because perhaps that's what these paintings are in the end. Mirrors. Richter has made a number of mirrors. He's exhibited mirrors as artworks, and he's overpainted mirrors with grey paint and called them mirror. And these abstractions are mirrors too, in that they mirror what we project on them. And we can't stop projecting. Freud would have a field day. What I can't get over is this idea that there's something beyond the image or the non-image, beyond all this surface activity, something behind it. That if only I wore the right glasses or could change the focal length of my eyes or screw them up, that it would all coalesce and become clear. But it's not going to. In the upper middle of this painting, there's this kind of tan colour, a denatured, weakened orange, which has probably got a little bit of, I don't know, sienna in it. It's almost a flesh colour. Perhaps it's a head that's been smeared, a face that's been half obliterated. And below it, a figure. But no, the figure's not there. It's like trying to catch reflections in a river. And as any fisherman will tell you, if he's of a philosophical bent, you can never fish the same river twice. And you can never look at the same painting twice and see the same things either.
The Guardian.